Chapter 6, beginning at verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, 'Thus you shall bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.' So shall they put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." Let's pray. Our Father and God, may the meaning of this benediction be illuminated in our hearts and in our minds by your Holy Spirit. And may you quicken our hearts and minds to understand your great love found in it for us today in Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, young people, what are you thinking about at the end of the service when Pastor Peter raises his hands and gives what we call the benediction? He raises his hands and says, for example, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all," from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. What are you thinking when he does that? I am sure you realize that these words are more than just a signal that the worship service is about to end. We have a few very small toddlers in our church, and that's what they believe it is. They think it's a signal for the worship service to end, and sometimes you'll hear a little kid say, "Amen." But no, these are God's promises to you, showing you what God thinks about you and what he is going to do for you as you go out into the world as his dear, beloved children. Do you listen closely and gratefully receive this word from God in faith for yourself? And are you comforted by these words? Well, it's not just for the young people. I could ask the same question to everyone in our worship service this morning. We go through various trials, some that seem very frustrating, some that seem overwhelming. We fight a battle, a personal battle, against our sins. We get tired and weary in our pilgrimage through this life. Well, the benediction is what heaven's doctor has ordered, because it is actually one of the most affectionate and loving ways that God expresses himself week after week at the end of every Lord's Day. Each Lord's Day, he's basically saying in the benediction, "I love you, and I have an undying commitment for your good." Oh, mom and dad and young people who will be mom and dads one day, how your children need to hear you say, "I love you." Can you imagine not ever hearing that from two of the most important people in your life? Can you imagine not ever hearing it from God, though, ever? Especially in light of your sin and shame. Today, we're going to look specifically at the benediction that God commanded Aaron and his sons to give to the children of Israel in Numbers chapter 6, the Aaronic benediction. For the context, keep in mind that leading up to this benediction, God had powerfully and out of pure love and grace rescued his people from Egyptian bondage in a great act of redemption. He then led them across the Red Sea and then to Mount Sinai, where he spent many months graciously giving them his righteous laws and giving them the blueprint for the tabernacle and its furnishings, and having them build it so that they could worship him and have an assurance of his promised presence with them wherever they went. Then shortly before consecrating the tabernacle and heading out into the wilderness toward the promised land, God told Aaron and his sons to give this loving benediction of promised blessing from him. Well, the benediction of blessing is quite different than counting your many blessings and naming them one by one. Well, I think there's a song, an old church hymn with that title, Count Your Many Blessings. I think that might be the name, and I was raised with it. And that's something that Christians do. And it's a good thing for us to do. For example, thank you, Lord, for bringing Pastor Peter to serve here. Thank you, Lord, for raising Elder Bruce among us. And I think as Elder Bruce prayed, we can all give thanks to God that there are now 4 OPC established churches in Missouri. Thank you, Lord, for my family, my spouse, my children, the provision that you have given us through 2022. The benediction, however, is God's forward-looking promises of spiritual blessing to us. He's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can give guaranteed forward-looking promises of spiritual blessing. And only the priests in Israel were qualified to give the words of benediction. They were God's mouthpiece. That's why in the OPC and many other churches, only the ordained minister can give the benediction. But the glory of the benediction lies not in the one who speaks it. It lies in the glory of God alone, for it is his word of promise to Israel. So in the Aaronic benediction, we will see God's great love expressed to us, first of all, in the promises of the blessing. Now these promises are found in verses 24 and through 26, and these promises comprise the entire benediction. That's the first point. We will see God's great love expressed to us in the promises of the blessing. And then second, in the glory of the blessing. Verse 27. And we will close with God's great love expressed to us in the fulfillment of the benediction and what this means for how we should live our lives today. Well, notice in the promises of the blessing, the blesser is Yahweh. Yahweh is Israel's God of promise. Verse 24, the Lord Yahweh bless you. Verse 25, the Lord Yahweh make his face to shine upon you. Verse 26, the Lord Yahweh lift up his countenance. Again, these words were first spoken through the priests in Israel to Abraham's offspring at Sinai. But I will say these words are also no less ours today, since we are Abraham's offspring through faith in Jesus Christ, going along with the devotion we heard just prior to the service. The minister can say with great boldness to the congregation, "The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." The pronouns used here throughout the benediction are in the singular. God is speaking to individuals within the context of the whole congregation of Israel. And again, the promises begin in verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. Can you imagine these Jews and their families, their children, who by God's grace had ears to hear, "God is going to keep me," with all that they had been through coming out of Egypt, with all that they had been through with the giving of the law at Mount Sinai and how they had been disobedient. The Lord is going to keep us. God's promises include keeping us tomorrow and all the days of our lives. He is not going to let us go. Sinners who trusted in God's promised Messiah, the Jews needed to hear that. The priests needed to hear themselves say it. And it casts a light all the way to Romans 8. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. We need that assurance. Therefore, we need to receive the benediction from God in faith. The Lord God keep you. That means he's your guard. I don't need money to have a guard. I need the grace of God in his provided Messiah to have a guard. That was true for them, and it's true for us. Psalm 121, the inspired psalmist says, God keeps his saved ones from all evil. He keeps your life. He keeps your going out and your coming in. He's the one true divine sentry, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who never sleeps or slumbers. He doesn't fail us like we have failed in all of our relations in some way, shape, or form. Psalm 91 says the psalmist, in Psalm 91, the psalmist says that God is his fortress. So, dear friends, the Holy Spirit not only lives within you as covenant members, as those trusting in Christ, first of all, but as covenant members of Covenant Family Church, but he surrounds you. He is your fortress, and he is impenetrable. The psalm goes on to say that God's angels guard us in all his ways. It's foolproof. And because we are called to suffer, because we are called to grow in love and faithfulness and obedience to the one who saved us, God promises to keep us in our suffering. It's objective. He's giving us something to bite into. The Lord keep you. The Lord guard you. This is something he will do. It's a promise. And sinners saved by grace today need to hear this over and over and over every Lord's Day. The Lord keep you. Now, combining several other promises of blessing, the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and similar, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. Well, again, young people, how do you feel when your dad or mom or your pastor or somebody very important in your life gives you a great big smile of approval and favor? It makes you feel good, doesn't it? That's what it does for me. Because this person, he or she, is expressing love and favor towards you. Well, God smiles upon sinners he has called to faith. He smiles upon them with favor. If this was the book of my life, and everything that I had ever done, everything that I had ever thought, everything that I should have done but I didn't, was in this book, I would not want even myself to read it. I would be too overwhelmed. And I don't even know the half of it. God knows the whole of my sin. He smiles upon us with favor. Wow. God is a spirit, but this language of a shining face and a lifted up countenance is used so that you and I might understand his sure promises will continue. Sin often weighs us down. We need to hear God declare through his minister his promise that he will smile upon us tomorrow. Why wouldn't those who look to God in saving faith at Sinai look to him in faith and lift their heads and hear the promise, the loving promise of God's continued graciousness toward them? They would. Also, the benediction ends with, and give you peace. The Lord give you peace. The Hebrew word is shalom, and it carries the idea, the meaning of all God's people, peaceful thoughts toward his people. That's the meaning, all of God's peaceful thoughts toward his people. In his covenant love, it's personal, it's objective. It's not referring to our feelings of peace. It's God's peaceful thoughts toward his dear ones in light of his saving grace for them found in the coming Messiah, for us looking back on his already has come. Isaiah, some years later from this history, said in Isaiah 54:10, referring to this same thing, "For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed. Thus says the Lord, who has compassion on you." And the benediction isn't just wishful thinking. It isn't even a prayer as such. It's a promise. It's a promise from God to keep his people, to smile upon them with favor, to be gracious to them, and to manifest peaceful thoughts toward them. And if God is not faithful here to keep his promises, then he is not God. And we can see that in verse 27 as we consider the glory of the benediction. As I said before, the benediction is completed now as of verse 26, but the glory of the benediction is found in verse 27. Here God declares, "So shall I put my name upon the people of Israel, and I will bless them." The glory of the benediction is the effect of the benediction. God's name is placed upon his children of faith. And these are not magical words, but God graciously places his name upon his people. And in this way, sinners called by God and saved by grace through faith can hear him regularly and gain assurance. Assurance that is ours in Christ. God will keep his promises toward us. In a sense, in a wedding ceremony, the husband places his name on his wife. The woman takes the husband's name. He places his name on her. With his name upon her, if he does not seek her good, he dishonors himself. God is placing his name on his dear children of faith, on you in the benediction, and he will not dishonor himself. And it's not just the name itself that God places on you as if the letters had magic. No, it's all that lies behind the name that is upon you. It's all that the name Yahweh represents. And placing his name on you means God is all in for your good. Therefore, God's people at Sinai could receive this by faith. Communing members here can receive this by faith. We are the Israel of God, children of Abraham by faith. Covenant children can also receive this in faith today. God placed his name upon covenant children in baptism. They were baptized into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. But that's not the only time God places his name on us. He places it in a very true sense every Lord's Day in the benediction. And he tells us that he will smile upon us tomorrow when he, through the minister, gives the benediction. He loves you. That much. He's all in for you and your good and his glory. Well, that's the glory of the blessing. We've considered the promises of the blessing, the glory of the blessing, and last, the benediction is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. We read Ephesians chapter 1 earlier, and in this chapter we see the fulfillment of the Aaronic benediction, where Paul teaches that we have been blessed in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Such is our union with Christ through faith. You and I deserve his wrath and curse in hell forever. But in his covenant love, he has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. The Children's Catechism asks this question: what does every sin deserve? The answer: the wrath and curse of God. But in infinite love and wisdom, God sent his Son to take care of this for us. On the cross, your perfect substitute, the second Adam, your representative in the covenant of grace, willingly and obediently bore your sin and suffered the just wrath and curse of God on your behalf. Take Christ out of the picture, and here is what you and I justly deserve because of our sin. The Lord curse you. The Lord let you go. The Lord turn his face from you and be not gracious to you. The Lord unleash his enmity upon you, not his peace, and that is just. But to save us, Christ experienced all of this on the cross unto death, making propitiation for you between you and a holy God and winning your peace and reconciliation with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. Through his shed blood, God's justice is satisfied. Our sins are no more. Then in his act of obedience, keeping God's law perfectly on your behalf and my behalf, his righteousness is counted as ours. He who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. In high school, back in the early 70s, I had a government class with Dr. Boxerman. He was a very serious teacher with very high expectations. To me, he was scary. But back then, most people were scary to me, but he was especially scary. And it took a lot for him to smile. In fact, I can only remember him smiling one time, and it was at me. I tell you this not because this is about me, but just to illustrate the point. I sat 6 or 8 feet right in front of his desk, and my head was normally down at age 16. Insecure, trying to stay safe, head down. And one day he gave an assignment to write about our life ambitions. I had never told anybody, but I wanted to join the military. So I wrote from my heart of my love for my country, and I listed the reasons why I wanted to join. And I guarantee I was not a good writer. I was an average student. But when he handed the papers back, I noticed at the top in bold red magic marker, A+. Instinctively, I looked up right at him. He was already looking at me, and he was already smiling. He was waiting for me to look up. When someone demands a lot and they smile upon you with favor, it's amazing. God demands perfection to his moral law as summarized in the Ten Commandments to be saved. And the second Adam, even our Lord Jesus Christ, has won our righteousness for us, and it is received through faith alone. Oh, look to Christ today. Look to Christ. For only in Christ is there life. Only in him is there nourishment. Only in him is there salvation and eternal life. and spiritual blessings and promises that attend to his wondrous salvation toward us. He is our A+. How then must we live? We must look up. We must look up. Almost instinctively at times. Looking up, he's waiting and he's already smiling. We must look up to receive his promises of blessing in faith. Be comforted, weary pilgrim. To close, just recently we had a Talent Express Your Night Christmas fun time. It was in the middle of the week, and one of the young men sang Fernando Ortega's song, Jesus King of Angels, and it deeply ministered to me. Jesus King of Angels, heaven's light, shine your face upon this house tonight. Let no evil come into my dreams. Light of heaven, keep me in your peace. Remind me how you made dark spirits flee and spoke your power to the raging sea and spoke your mercy to a sinful man. Remind me, Jesus, that this is what I am. The universe is vast beyond the stars, but you are mindful when a sparrow falls, and mindful of the anxious thoughts that find me, surround me, and bind me. Jesus, King of Angels, heaven's light, hold my hand and keep me through the night. He is our peace. In the song, Light of Heaven, let no evil come into my dreams. Light of Heaven, keep me in your peace. The doxology says he does, and he will, and it's a promise. So let's pray. Our Father, we look to you and to you alone, for you are the source of life. And all that sinners need for life abundantly here in our pilgrimage and fulfilled once we finish our pilgrimage and arrive in your very presence. We look to you, Lord, to seal these words to our hearts, for you are gracious and you are good and you are compassionate towards sinners, and we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.